Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey guys, welcome down to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast. I'm your host, Rick Shields. I'm here with co-host Guy, episode 116. How are you, pal? Are you good?
Good.
We've just been talking about Wordle.
The thing is, when people listen back to this in like 6 months' time, they'll be like, oh, you remember Wordle? That was a thing.
Well, I'm currently on a 13-day streak and I'm like, I'm addicted.
You've got 20 days in you and you're done then, I reckon.
Yesterday, I almost forgot, like literally almost forgot. I probably got to about 9 p.m. Normally I do it in the morning, but I was busy. And I saw someone on Twitter put it. I was like, ah.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I know people get annoyed with me putting it on Twitter, but hopefully it reminds somebody to their Wordle.
Yeah, it's a bit sad when on Twitter, I'm not into that.
I like it when it's like related to a score in golf. Like if you do it in four, it's a par. If you do it in three, it's a birdie. Two, an eagle. One hole.
Putting it on Twitter is the equivalent of going playing around the golf and going, oh, Rick played golf at the week. Well, I bogeyed the first and then I got on the second. I hit one. I thought I was going out of bounds, so I hit a provisional. But then I got them. My first one was in by a foot. And then I fatted it. And you're getting bored already, aren't you?
That's what a podcast is like, really.
Well, actually, speaking of podcasts, the guy that made Wordle was on MKBHD's podcast, Marques Brownlee, a massive tech YouTuber who's been on this podcast before. And it was very interesting how he came up with Wordle.
I want to listen.
The one thing he doesn't mention, though, is how it's essentially copied off a TV show. Lingo in the UK is literally the exact same thing.
There but you go.
He's made £1 million. So
is the guy who made Wordle American?
No, he's English. He's actually from South Wales. He's called Josh Wardle, and that's where the Wordle came from.
No way.
Yeah, that's where he came
from. I thought it was like word and puzzle.
It's just coincidental that he's kind of played on his own name as well. And
oh, wow, that's cool.
He worked for Reddit for many years, and he's a techie guy. Sold it for 7-figure sum to New York Times. So.
Legend. Anyway, that's our cool topic. That's what we think is cool kids. Is what's like popular right now, but it's really not, is it?
No. Well, it's popular, but no one will be for much longer.
No.
This is a golf podcast. We talk some golf. We've got a lot lined up today. I'm looking at my notes today, and we are absolutely jam-packed. The first thing, though, we're recording this on Monday, as always, and this will be out on Tuesday. Tomorrow, which is today, the people listening, that's not confusing, is it? Tuesday, our tickets for the live podcast go on sale.
Whoop, whoop.
So the only annoying thing is, this isn't a great way of trying to plug it. I'm not fully sure on the website link yet. However, if you want to come, it's in London, and the date is Friday. I best get this right, hadn't I? Saturday, is that right, Rick?
Yep.
The 28th of May. So it's Saturday, the 28th of May. I think it's going to be in the evening. Tickets will be available on. So if you go on Google and you search for the podcast show London. From tomorrow, you should be able to find tickets on there. If you watch this on YouTube, we'll put a link pinned down below. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, check your description. So when you actually go onto the podcast, there should be a description below it. We'll put it in there as well. And we'll also shout about it, hopefully not for too long, because if we shout about this in 3 weeks' time, we haven't sold all the tickets.
Yes. So obviously on the back of the first live podcast, hopefully people who missed out go, we cannot miss out again. And like I say, we're coming to London town this time, so it should be very exciting.
And what we want to do, if you've been watching the golf this weekend, the waste management, people are throwing beers. Please throw beers at the stage.
Wow.
Rick's really into it. Rick said if he was at, we're going to talk this in more depth, but Rick said if he was at the waste management, he'd have been throwing beers. So throw beers at the podcast live if you want.
Why not?
Yeah. anyway, so that's... exciting live,
yes,
podcast in London.
Really
looking
exciting.
Forward to that. So yeah, again, I feel a bit bad there's not more details exactly, but I've texted the guys with the website link today and it's a bit of a thing. I can't quite work it out, but anyway, it should be live when you listen to this. You can buy tickets.
Awesome, exciting times ahead. Should we start with the waste management then?
Yes, let's do it.
This feels like an actual golf podcast and we're talking about actual real golf very early on in the podcast.
We are.
Waste management Phoenix Open, one of the flagship events on the PGA Tour.
Yes.
Marked in many, many golf fans and even sports fans' diaries for months ahead.
Wasn't in mine. Was in yours?
Always.
Be honest now, when did you know it was coming?
Always.
You didn't know until last week.
As soon as I start seeing pictures of, like,
yeah, exactly,
influencers, so there.
A week before you knew it was coming.
Coincides with Super Bowl Sunday, typically. So it must, in America, it must be a huge, crazy day. And that's where we see some craziness going on. Well, let's talk about the golf first. So Scottie Scheffler won, took victory. I actually watched it, certainly the last kind of 6-7 holes. Never looked like he was going to win, but made birdie. Sorry, didn't birdie 18th, actually. He birdied 17, forced a playoff with Patrick Cantlay. After three holes played, amazing shot from Scottie Scheffler into the green from the bunker, and then hold this tremendous birdie putt. Patrick Cantlay lost, so Scottie Scheffler is the first-time PGA Tour winner.
Is that his first win?
First ever PGA Tour win. Even though he's been in the Ryder Cup team and everything.
He's a very established name, didn't realise that.
He's always up there. I mean, even like the top list of players, like Scottie Scheffler, Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele, Brooks Koepka. But there was a name up there who I absolutely wanted to win. Thegala.
Okay.
Rookie.
Yeah.
He got a sponsored invite to play in the event. He's come from the Korn Ferry Tour. Absolutely cool as you like. Had the 54-hole lead to going into the final round with the lead, with all these massive, massive names around him on the leaderboard. He absolutely held his own all the way through his round of golf. He was playing up to the crowds. He was having the most fun. All his family were out there.
I saw that clip of all his... There's a lot of family, wasn't
there? A lot of family there. I mean, it was just what dreams are made of. Like, not only to be in his rookie PGA Tour event by a sponsor's invite, to be leading, to be in the final group, and get this, on the 17th hole, the drivable par 4, he was joint lead, I think at the time, with Patrick Cantlay. A lot of the players are making birdie on that hole because it's very, very kind of easy. It hits what looks to me like a 2 hybrid, and it hits this beautiful little shot, and it just started fading towards the middle of the green. It was coming in a bit hot, so it was going to be a little bit low-flighted, and as it landed on the fairway, it took the worst kick I've ever seen, left, over the green, into the water. And it was like, how unlucky. Because he didn't hit a bad shot. Ends up not getting up and down from his drop zone, making bogey. He made a great par at the last. He finished joint third in the end. Obviously, it'll be his biggest paycheck by a million miles. And for me personally, watching that last night, when a rookie's up the top of the leaderboard.
I don't think, with this rookie thing, though, he has played on the PGA Tour before. I'm looking at his stats. He's played in 2019 to 20 and 2021, only a handful of events. But it says he made 4 cuts last year.
On the actual PGA Tour?
On PGA Tour website, yeah.
That's not what it was saying on. All right. Maybe I've not done my research enough, but I'm just, sure.
Because I had not massively heard, well, I hadn't heard of him, not even massively. But it says that this year he's made 9 cuts. And it says that the year before he made 4. And then the year before that he played 1. And then he made a cut as an amateur in the 16-17 season.
Oh, yeah, no, these are. Oh, maybe rookie season?
I don't know. What is it? Were they all invites last year? Has he got a card? I don't understand. Maybe rookie season. Either way,
anyway,
he's done very, very well.
And I really, really wanted to support it. Like, for some reason, I was really, really behind him. Yeah, he's playing the US Open. But yeah, anyway, he's not quite as rookie as I thought. But anyway, he was class. He didn't win, unfortunately, but I'm sure he'll come back stronger. But in more pressing matters, the waste management, obviously, is not particularly just famous for who wins. Sometimes that can be overshadowed by a lot of the other actions that go on at waste management, including the 16th hole, the par 3, at the stadium course, where it is literally a stadium built round the par
literally
3.
Literally a stadium, isn't it?
Is it like 40,000 or is that too many? That seems too many.
I feel like I saw 20,000, but don't quote me on that because that could also
be
wrong.
It's tens of thousands of spectators rammed in around this par 3, 360 degrees. It is an unbelievable spectacle. Like, you see it, and I love the clips when you come off the back of it, and imagine building that around something like the 12th at the Masters, or building that around the 17th at Sawgrass, or whatever it may be. It is an unbelievable scene setting. Mm. It's had massive moments there. Back in 1997, Tiger had his only professional hole-in-one there.
It's mad how, at the time, when you look at that video, it looks rammed, but you compare that to now, yeah, and it looks like it's like a ghost town, doesn't it?
And what's really mad about that, it looks really downhill on that clip, yeah, where I think it's pretty flat, actually. It's not long hole. I think probably like the furthest back...
or something.
Yeah, the furthest back they can play is probably like 150-odd, 160 maybe.
Yeah.
I've played it. When the grandstands were up, I played it about five or six years ago, and the grandstands were up. I can't quite remember what I did. I don't believe I hit the green, but there was literally a few builders knocking in a few bloody bits and bobs, and I was nervous even just then.
Because
it was just the amphitheatre. Mm. It was like, you never play golf in a setting that's like that. So imagine filling that with 20,000, let's call it, fans, spectators, TV cameras, celebrities, drinking,
yeah,
which we'll come on to. The atmosphere must be unlike anything else ever.
The closest thing I would say is at the first at the Golf National.
Oh, yeah, the Ryder Cup.
But even so, that was just the tee, wasn't it? I think the unique thing with the par three is no matter where you are, something that's a short one, you can see everything. The other closest, and this is very, not even that close, but was that hole at St. George's that had where Jigger Thompson had a hole in one and we stood sat in it.
Yeah, that
was a bit like a mini stadium.
14th or something.
But that was more like traditional grandstands. I think what's so unique with this is how it literally wrapped around. So you walk into it and you're like in a, like it's an amphitheatre.
Yeah, you walk in via a tunnel. You come in from the 15th, which is a phenomenal par five. It almost gets really overshadowed because you almost never see any footage on there. It's a really good par five where it's like an island green, risk and reward and everything. But it kind of gets overshadowed because the par three is coming up, and then 17, 18 are phenomenal holes as well. But you walk through this kind of tunnel and it must just hit you. The atmosphere, the sounds, the smells of alcohol. like crazy, crazy. Now, I did... see a stat, and I'm annoyed that I didn't take a screenshot of it now, about the hole-in-ones that have happened there. Let me just see if
well,
I can
there's been a lot
quickly. Not loads, no. That's going to annoy me now. I should have taken a screenshot over the weekend. I saw a stat. It was something along the lines of, it's at least been 20 plus years since a hole-in-one has taken place on the final round.
All right.
I know that for sure. There's been a few hole-in-ones as they go along, but this weekend there was two hole-in-ones. Mm. Ryder, I can't remember his first name. I want to say Samuel.
It is, I think.
Oh, it is Sam Ryder, yeah. So Sam Ryder on the third round, the Saturday, which again, the atmosphere must be absolutely incredible, makes a hole-in-one.
Yeah.
Which was incredible. A cool one, wasn't it?
It was.
Pitched right at the flag, spun in, dropped in. And then on Sunday, I'm going to really get his name wrong again here now, Ortiz...
he seemed to almost have loads of topspin to go in.
I think the greens got really, really, really hard because he was only hitting nine.
That's what I mean. It bounced and rolled in.
He also got a hole in one. Carlos Ortiz. Then he went on to Eagle 17.
Saw that.
That's amazing.
It's the first of the year back to back Eagles, apparently.
Unbelievable. Played two holes in three shots. But then the carnage. Mm,
pure carnage.
Took place after. Yep. Both said hole-in-ones. Now, yes. Again, picture the scene, amphitheatre, loads of drinks going on. You're there watching, waiting for something magical to happen.
Yes.
And something did magical happen.
Yes.
Celebrations were strong.
Yeah.
Is a probably good description of it. So you might have seen it over social media this weekend. As soon as both players got the hole-in-ones, obviously, the crowd went absolutely berserk, jumping, screaming, shouting, but then decided to do something that is sometimes happens at sporting events where beer was thrown,
yeah,
bottles were thrown onto the golf course, marshals were ducking out the way, TV cameras were trying to dodge kind of these missiles, players were trying to do everything they could not to get hit, massive cleanups after, ironically, at the Waste Management. It's open.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing then for the next hour and a half, the bar was completely full of people wanting to restock the drinks.
Replenish.
Huge delays in play from actually picking up the bottles. Not sure if there was damage on the golf course. Not sure if there was excess kind of waste, water, beer on the golf course. But it was scenes that I've never seen on the golf course before, ever.
No.
Ever, ever, ever. But you mentioned actually, you saw a clip from 1997 Tiger did it.
So basically, I didn't watch much of the golf, but I kind of watched the clips and I was on social media, so I feel like I saw enough to get a real kind of understanding of it. And it didn't quite sit right with me, but I'm going to try and explain my point. And I'm always conscious with the podcast that we record the podcast, so it's a full-length audio podcast, obviously, and it's a full-length video podcast as well. But equally, we do kind of smaller, bite-sized chunks that people can watch on YouTube who may not normally tune into the podcast, who might watch your videos occasionally and see this random one pop up and they'll click and watch it, and it might be 8 minutes long or 10 minutes long. I sometimes feel with those, because people don't know who I am often, they'll just jump on whatever you say and not kind of give it context. So I was really thinking about it this weekend. I was saying, how can I explain it in its simplest form that people might disagree with me, that's fine, but can't take what I say incorrectly? So I was watching the golf, said online, I watched the hole-in-ones, obviously, and I saw the celebrations, and I saw the almost euphoria between the players, the people that were there, and it looked like people were having an amazing time. So that I am fully behind. But I did a tweet that hopefully kind of sums it up, in my opinion anyway. I said, I like how it's different. I like how it's fun, exciting and noisy. I love the stadium setup. I just hate the unnecessary throwing of drinks. I've never understood it and never will. Now, that last bit isn't just about this event and golf. For me personally, and everyone has different opinions, different whatever, I never understand it when you see people at events. And England did it in the, you know, in the Euros, and they did so well. People in big crowds just launching beer everywhere. You get it at rock concerts, people throwing beer. For me personally, I'm never in an environment where that is something I want to do or feel like it's excitable or something that, you know, it gets me going throwing a beer. Yeah. I kind of get it if you're holding the drink and you jump up and naturally some of that comes out. But literally getting
that's what all these people said.
Well, yeah, getting that and then launching it down to the green. For me, I just don't get. Now, what I am behind, firstly, I'm massively behind golf having different events and different kind of ways, different ways of the crowd enjoying themselves. I absolutely love the way it's literally a stadium. It's so different. It's so unique. And I imagine the players, you know, it's 1 week of the year, absolutely love it. I imagine they do anyway. I bet they get more nervous, but I bet absolutely love it. I bet the people that go have an absolute great time and thoroughly enjoy it. So in that side of it, I am absolutely well behind it. It makes golf look cooler. And I said to you before, off the podcast, growing up, golf was my sport and it still is my sport. And I'll hold my hands up. I found it quite difficult sometimes telling people I played golf because I was scared of what they would perceive it as and how they would perceive me. It's boring. It's an old man's sport. You should play football. You should play rugby. So anything that ever happens in golf that makes the game look a bit cooler, I feel kind of proud of because I feel like, you know what I mean? So I'm absolutely behind that. I don't want it to be seen as stuffy and old men and boring. I love the explosion, the excitement. I just don't like people launching beer, partly because I don't get it. You've paid probably $8, $10, whatever it is for a beer, and now you're throwing it.
Yeah.
Secondly, you're throwing it thinking, well, I'm not going to fucking pick that up. Somebody else can.
Yeah.
How horrible is that attitude?
Yeah.
And lastly, I mean, I know this is a really deep point and might not be as relevant, but you know, people in the audience looks like they're all taking part, but they're not. There's some people who don't massively like, they want to be there for the atmosphere, but don't want to be covered in beer. They might have worn a new outfit. They might not drink for religious beliefs. They might not drink they might have struggles with alcohol, whatever it might be, and you're throwing beer all over them. I just don't think it's pleasant. Now, you could say, well, don't win that grandstand because that's what happens, but that's not fair. Like, you can't say this is a grandstand only for people who drink beer and only people who want to get covered in beer. I just don't think it's right.
Yeah.
And that's nothing to do with trying to be a killjoy. That's just my own opinion.
Yeah. I think you've articulated it really well. And you asked me this morning about what I think. And I probably have not overthought it. I've not thought of it into it too much because I'd almost feel like I'd slightly contradict myself. Because when I look on the TV and you're right, to your absolute points there, I'd actually be like, God, yeah, that is stupid, isn't it? Mm. Like, why are they doing that? But I know full well, if I'm there, I'd be one of the idiots.
Yeah.
At least I would. I just know I would. So I would find it really hard for myself to kind of almost contradict it because you almost get wrapped up in the environment. But you mentioned today, if I was there with my family, if I was there with my kids, things I would react differently. I don't think I'd have the same reaction every single time in every scenario. But you weren't the only one. So I put a tweet out. A series of tweets, actually. But just out of curiosity, do you like the crazy celebrations on the 16th hole at the Waste Management? 67% said they love it.
Mm-hmm.
15% said they hated it. 18% said they don't care. And that's like 5,500 votes.
But what's interesting, I know it was only going to go on some more detailed questions, but what's interesting with that is people might perceive crazy celebrations as shouting. Because don't forget, in golf, we don't get much of that. So people might be behind the more kind of shouting, the more celebrating, rather than being very quiet, please. Correct. Which other people might be seeing that more as the beer.
Lastly, even though I'll go on to another question, lastly, is it good for golf or bad for golf? I'm thankful for this. 84% of people do think it's good for golf. And I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Like, how many new people have never... And I almost think of that audience. I almost don't think they're a golf audience as well in that grandstand.
The question I would have, and I don't disagree, I think, because I did this survey that you put on, partly because I wanted to put my own opinion in and also see it. So you have to click the answers to get the results. So I clicked, yes, it's good for golf. So overridingly, I would probably say it is. But then you think, why...
I just think it's getting more eyeballs, and it's like the fun. You're seeing players having fun.
Yeah.
And I'll come on to another point in a minute, because I actually watched the last few holes of the golf last night. My wife, Claire, who doesn't play golf, not that massively interested in it. I was asking her a few questions, but I'll come on to it in a minute. So I do think you see players in a different setting. I think they're a little bit different in that environment.
More relaxed.
Possibly, yeah. I'll come on to another point in a minute. So... good for golf, 84%. Last question. What do you think of the beer throwing? This surprised me, because for a long time, it was actually 50-50. Mm. For a long time, I was like, what? In the end, it became 62% was downvote.
Yeah.
Still 38% upvote. I actually thought, in my head, at the time, I thought, oh, surely it's going to be 90% down, 10% up. When it started at 50-50, I'm like, what? Mm. And it's just tipped on the scale of downvote. So there was, again, I think it's probably hard. I think for that very, very first time when Sam Ryder did it, people probably just lost their minds and didn't think they were going to do it, and it just happened. It was spontaneous. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It was spontaneous. It was Saturday afternoon. Everyone's probably absolutely pie-faced or whatever.
Pie-faced. I've had six mean potato pies.
I couldn't think of a nicer
blottoed,
term to say.
Drunk, and bladdered.
The one I had in my head was not family friendly, so I thought I better not say that one. So I think in that environment, it was like, oh my God, like, whatever.
Yeah, then, that's not natural. There's nothing natural about throwing.
Look, I don't know.
Look at what you did with your hands then. You're, like a roller coaster. That movement and getting up and going, it's not the same.
Only takes the one person to do it, probably. And then what happened then on the Sunday when it happened again, I thought, obviously, you know what's going to happen. The players knew what was going to happen. I felt really, really sorry for the marshals, because they'd experienced it on the Saturday and probably didn't like it. They're now like literally ducking for cover. You had even cameramen ducking for cover. And I thought, oh, come on, guys. Maybe you could have learned from day one.
You know what I hate about it, though? Is the fact that, like, I used the analogy before off camera to you, that if you went to a nice Sunday dinner with your wife and they said, unfortunately, Mr. Shields, I don't know, I didn't know your name, let's just say they did, the bar is full inside, but it's the middle of summer, we've got a lovely table outside for you. And you go, okay, let's go. We've got your three kids with you. They're going to play on the adventure play thing. Oh, and by the way, we've got a big, massive 40-foot TV screen outside. And as you know, it's the Manchester United versus Man City derby today. And you go, well, I'm a big football fan. That's perfect. You've eaten your Sunday roast, watching the football. Next thing, I watched the Rooney documentary the day. Ronaldo scores the winner and United win the game. You're in every right to celebrate. Might give it a little fist, but might even stand up. Might go and shake hands.
Cheers, everybody.
You might shake hands with one of the dads who's got three kids with them and say, well done, old fellow. But at no point...
Jolly good game.
At no point, you can express your emotion. You might even give it a quick, get in. Sorry, I have to bleep that, Matt. But there's no instance where you're going to start throwing a beer.
Now, because
you're with other people, why does that mean you have to fundamentally change how you celebrate and start throwing beer?
I'm a bad person.
No, but it doesn't mean you're a person, but why? I don't understand what part of it elevates the experience.
I don't know, but this is why I really, really can't say I'm absolutely 100% against it, because I don't know why I'd end up being one of those idiots. Yeah. I would. And I'd probably hate myself for it.
I know. I think that, though, on a deeper level, though, and this is a completely different kettle of fish, but that's why, like, football grounds, a lot of these things negatively happen, whether it be throwing or people shouting things that aren't right, because, like, oh, well, I was at the football, it was all right, it was mob mentality.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't believe that fundamentally, why should you change who you are to fit in with the surroundings?
I just like to fit in. And then, I must admit, so then second holy one, I thought, oh, it's going to happen again, and I thought, yeah, okay, expected. The two times, however, not that the other times I completely condone, but the next two times, I thought, what? absolutely ridiculous.
But that's the point, though, isn't it? There's gonna, it's on or off.
That's
what you can't. They're not going to have it like you're saying. And I kind of, again, I don't agree with it, but if it's going to happen at all, it's on a hole in one, isn't it? But then it's like, didn't you say Justin Thomas chipped in?
It was absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. In that set, in that time, you're thinking, oh, come on. Like, you are now actually taking the mick a bit. He was at the back of the green, he chipped in. He was kind of giving it all this to the crowd, like, and suddenly beer started getting thrown onto the golf course again. I was like, oh, I didn't expect that. Yeah. Like, not that time, because they are, I don't know. And even Justin Thomas's face, like, oh, for God, are you joking? What the hell is this about? And then the other time, did you see the other one, the Harry Higgs one?
Yes, we pulled his top up.
So Harry Higgs, that obviously, really, you know, well, that's weird, though, because I didn't massively like that. Like, I didn't like him doing that, and I didn't like Joel Darham taking his shirt off and swinging it around. I was thinking, oh, bloody hell, like, is that... And then beer was being thrown on again.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God, like...
I think the thing is, I mean, I probably wouldn't personally celebrate taking my top off and spinning it, but it's, for me, I thought it a bit funny. It's more when you're throwing stuff, it's like, I'm going to throw this beer, but I'm not picking it up. Some other peasant can collect this beer for me. I know I've overthought it, but I've spent the weekend trying to understand how I feel about it, because it just didn't sit quite right with me. And I think there's a fine line. As golfers, you know, as people in the golf media, whatever, we want golf to look cool.
Yeah.
We want to inspire more people to play. That's all great. And I do. But there's a fine line between showing people having an amazing time and just looking foolish and just like it's a mob mentality. Yeah.
It'd be really interesting to see if... because, again, what maybe surprised me is how much, like, the PGA Tour was sharing it all as well.
Well, they're going to want to make golf look fun at the moment, aren't they, with all these other rumours of other leagues and stuff.
But, like, I did think, well, that's quite interesting. But I wonder if then next year, with what's happened this year, they're going to put, like, nets up or not serve beer in that stadium. Like, I do think, I'd be surprised if nothing changed now between now and next year. Excuse me. Surely there's no way that they can let it happen again.
They should do something to celebrate. Yeah, I love it. Even like set off fireworks or something. Poppers. Like, it's more the mess. That's what it is. It's more this arrogance. I know, again, I'm really uptight about it, and I'm sure people will be commenting below, going, oh, ease up and have fun. I love the fun element.
Yeah.
But I just don't quite get the throwing it and that somebody else can clean it up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't drive down the motorway and just launch a can of Coke out the car.
No, you're right.
So, anyway, Matt, what do you think of it off camera? Okay. So Matt likes the fun, doesn't like other people picking it up.
They should. Right, everyone, come down, come pick it up.
I'll tell you what, though, speaking of the picking it up, I don't know what people are there are volunteers, but if they said to people, you can have free ticket to the waste management, you stand on the green, you just have to collect empty beer bottles, people would be loving it, wouldn't they? That's it, you get to watch the golf all day.
Yeah.
Just get a little bin bag and put it in.
Did you see they actually had rakes?
Did they?
Actually had, like, like when they pick up... When you go to a nice place, like up at Archfield.
Yes.
And when you go to practice ground, they have those like rakes that are like...
Oh, yeah, they get the balls
big
in.
Things like to rake them off.
Well, that's it. And this will probably be a little clip on YouTube, but I'm very, very interested to hear people's thoughts. I'm sure people will comment down below anyway, but
Can we put a poll on YouTube? You used to be able
possibly,
to.
I'm not sure.
Anyway, then there was... Well, I don't even know if I need to go into this, because I probably don't know enough of the story, like the Charlie Hoffman and stuff, but I don't really know loads about it. He was having a massive dig at the PGA Tour. And
well, there's obviously this talk of this kind of super golf league or the Saudi-backed golf league that's massively on people's agenda at the moment, and it looks like, from what we see, Phil Mickelson's got an interest, Bryson's got an interest.
Yeah.
Charlie Hoffman was kind of essentially slagging off the PGA Tour for rules and stuff, and people are coming out and saying, well, if that's because you're joining the Saudi golf league or whatever... then go and do what you need to do, but it's not first suddenly start negatively backing. Talking. Yeah, and I get that. Like,
certainly the fact I think he's made like over 4 million from playing, I'm sure, Charlie Hoffman.
More than 4 million.
Or is it?
I'd imagine so.
That might have been just last year.
Because I'm sure he was in like one of the top 30 earners or ever, or something like that.
I did see something. Oh, there we go. That's the stat, sorry. He won 4.16 million in 2017 without a single win.
Yeah, well, there you go. But again, speaking of like the waste management and the excitement, these other potential tours, you know, there are going to be more events created, I imagine, if they all go ahead, where golf will be different and easier to watch and hopefully more exciting. But another thing, lastly, again, we've kind of left the waste management bit for a minute, I guess, until next year. But like, I was thinking this morning about golf, and again, the issues that it has, and I'll use that term loosely, because I saw this whole thing of growing the game, and we always talk about growing the game, and other people talk about growing the game, and what does it mean? How do you grow the game? And I just think, unfortunately, golf is, in some instances, a difficult sport to get into. And what I mean by that is, let's just say you had a young boy who is 12 years old, who watched that waste management and was unbelievably inspired to start playing. Because I think there will be, you know, there might well be. It looked cool, etc. It's then quite hard to take that to the golf course, because I was watching, you did watch it as well, the recent overlap, which is Gary Neville, who's an ex-footballer in the UK, with Declan Rice, who's an England player, West Ham player, and 23 years old, is possibly the most likable player in the world, and he's so cool. And they were talking about how Declan Rice got to the level he's at now, and part of it was playing, he's from Kingston up in Thames, in kind of, I think, like South West London. And he used to go out on the basic streets with his friends and his older brothers and play football.
Yep.
And he had a caged area that was part of the kind of council thing and some pitches, well, not even pitches, just grassed areas. And from there, he got into golf. Now, we do hear the odd exceptional story how a golfer started playing in the streets with a baked bean can or something. But but realistically, to get into golf, you have to have access to golf clubs, go to a driving range or to a golf course.
You do.
So again, let's go back to that 10-year, 12-year-old, whatever. They watch this golf this weekend. They absolutely love it. They want to go and play. They walk into the kitchen on Monday morning and say, "Mum, I want to start golf." There's quite a lot of barriers there, isn't there?
It's even just like, oh God, like where?
Exactly.
Like even just the question of, God, where do we start?
So we know as golfers that you can get a really cheap set of clubs off Facebook from a charity shop. You can go to a junior golf club's junior section, might let you join for £100 a year.
Go and hire clubs at the driving range.
Yeah, when you know what we know, it can be quite a smooth, easy transition. But to actually start the game, there's a lot of questions. Do you need separate clothes? Do you need golf shoes? Is that going to be expensive? How much is the driving range? How many balls do you need to keep getting every week? That can get expensive. Like, there is a lot of barriers to people starting playing golf, and the perception as well.
You know what's mad? We're trying to get my little boy into football at the moment. He's only three. And we just very quickly went on Google the other day, football clubs near us.
Mm.
It was so easy.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. There was 10... Very quickly, they had really cool names like Little Kickers or Kickstarters or all these things. And it was almost like franchises. Like, these aren't the only Little Kickers in the country.
They're everywhere.
But straight away, you go on the website, really nice website. You can buy the kit straight away, dead easy. And you can sign up for a class. And in half an hour, we didn't actually do because we didn't have a time that suited us just yet. But in half an hour, we could have boxed it off completely and got my little boy into football. Turned up on that day knowing exactly what to expect with his little kit and everything. Where golf definitely doesn't have that, does it?
It just feels that people listening are golfers or certainly an interest in golf, so they might know a little bit more, obviously, of how to get into it. But it does feel that it sometimes could be quite confusing for people.
Like if I even just put in now junior golf groups near me,
I think things will come up.
All I'm seeing is junior sections. So junior sections at Manchester Golf Club, at Didgeridge Golf Club, at junior golf section at Wigan Golf Club. I don't know. I felt like, again, the footballer was easier.
Yeah, well, it is, isn't it?
It's easier to get into sports like that. Well, the last point then on the golf. So I was watching it again, my wife last night, just in the playoff, and I just asked her a very simple question. She was like, can we watch something else? I was like, no, come on, let's watch this. I asked her a question. I said, how could this be better? As a non-golfer, how would you enjoy this more? And she went, well, first off, she said, by turning it over, which wasn't the best, most constructive response. So I said, no, seriously, how would you watch this and make it more fun? This was the playoff, where there's two players going head-to-head to win a prize. Like, so first off, she'd only just switched it on. We'd been watching him for about half an hour. Granted, she knew nothing about the players. She knew nothing about Patrick Cantlay and Scottie Scheffler, which is fine. But like, she knew what was very difficult as a non-golfer watching that environment in that setting is it, I don't believe TV or the commentators and stuff do a good enough picture to really paint the scene or the scenario.
Mm.
Like, it was very difficult for even her to understand exactly what was going on right now. It was just like two golfers are playing golf.
And yeah.
It just didn't, as a golfer, you know everything that's going to go on when you're watching it. But as a non-golfer, even like in obviously in football and stuff, you've got the red team are trying to shoot that way. You've got the blue team trying to shoot that way, and the red team have got 1-0 at the moment. and it's dead. It's almost quite easy.
Yeah.
And golf, it just didn't seem that easy. It was so like complicated. Yeah. And then she said, like, the commentators, could they make it a bit more fun? I'm like, I don't know if you can. This is really hard to figure out.
Do you think as well, like, we say this about golf, and I'm again talking about how we can make it more accessible and more fun, but ultimately, we can always try and elevate golf, the experience people have and the experience the viewer has. But ultimately, golf is golf, isn't it? It's trying to get a white ball into a hole in the least amount of shots possible. And kind of fortunately or unfortunately, that is the sport. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that is what it is.
I was just thinking, though, again, like,
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's Amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
In that setting right there, certainly as a maybe a casual fan flicking on the TV and going, oh, what's this? This looks quite exciting.
Yeah. I've
seen this massive stadium, all this beer being thrown. Even, I know a lot of players have said no to it. Just a bit of dialogue from the players, a bit of something so you can go, oh, I like the guy dressed in all white there. I want to support him.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, because I've just heard what he said, or I've just spoke to his, the crowd have just gone and spoke to his wife, or like, I don't know.
But again, do you think that's going to make golf something that's, like, you don't get that in football, do you? Because you don't need it, because the sport is fast-paced.
Well,
like,
that's
it's simple. But
simple.
It's just a shame that's what golf is.
Yeah.
Golf is a slow sport of, at the moment anyway, four rounds of 18 that take 5 hours, and a shot, a putt can take 45 seconds to hit. Like, that just is the game, and unless we actually change the game.
Yeah.
Like,
and even like the daft things, like when they're on the green putting, and like Patrick Cantlay's putt looks fairly short compared to Scotty's in the last playoff hole. She's going, oh, he's got no chance of getting this in. And I was like, oh no, yeah, he's got very little chance. But it's even been good, and I've seen it on TV before where there's even a percentage. Just
like
something that.
That
goes, oh, actually theoretically he's got 15% chance of holding this. And Claire would suddenly go, oh right, so he has got a chance.
Yeah.
And the other guy's got a 50% chance of holding that. Oh my god, so I just thought it was something where it was very interesting. I don't often sit down with a non-golfer watching golf, so I wanted to kind of quiz her on it, but inevitably she ended up going to bed because she was bored.
Well, that was Louis Theroux when it was really good. In other news, it is 150 days today, Monday, till the Open.
Wow.
And my friend at the RNA, Paul, sent me something over that was quite interesting. I thought I'd give it a bit of a shout out because it looks pretty good. On the Monday of the Open, so Monday the 11th, there's going to be the Open's champion golfers are going to be playing in like a four-hole match. So there's going to basically be, there's no names announced yet, but there's going to be people who have won the Open, women's major champions, male and female amateur champions, and golfers with disability champions. They're going to compete over the 1st, the 2nd, the 17th, and the 18th.
Brilliant.
At the Old Course.
Brilliant.
How cool is that?
Awesome. Love that.
It will feature, so it's actually called the RNA Celebration of Champions. There's going to be 48 golfers, And it'll be able to be watched on TV and digitally at theopen.com.
That's quite a lot. 48. Yeah, 48. It's quite a lot, yeah.
So that would be 12 four balls if they do it in four balls. Is that maths? Yeah, right? Yeah. Is that right? My maths are going to be
yeah,
bad.
That's right.
Yeah. That's interesting. So I thought I'd give that a shout out because I'm excited about the Open. I know you're excited about the Open. It is the big one this year. 150 at St Andrews. The home of golf, the home of Guy.
You can already see like Nick Faldo. You can see like Gary Player. Maybe Nicholas. Maybe Tiger.
I think you'll get some of the kind of, maybe Rory might play in it and stuff like that. Because for them, obviously, it's great PR as well to play in with, obviously, the female golfers as well, people with disabilities to showcase that, you know, there's so many different ways of playing the sport as well. I think it'd be quite exciting.
Oh, that'd be class.
Another good news as well, my favourite YouTube channel, bar Rick Shields and the Rick Shields Golf Show, which obviously is Stacked Golf, hit 100,000 subscribers recently.
Awesome. Well done, guys.
At the moment, I'm going on a massive Stacked Golf binge. So people listening, you've heard us talk about Stacked Golf before. If you're not aware of Stacked Golf, it's a husband and wife, John and Ashley, who basically go around flea markets, secondhand stores in America, buying old random golf clubs, then going playing golf with them.
I just can't believe there's so many markets and secondhand golf club markets.
But what's mad, I think they're a similar age to us. And the clubs that, like, John remembers...
Exactly the clubs we
so
remember.
So he's like, he's going, oh, there's like a 983K with a ProForce V2 shaft on, and it's got a Lambkin Crossline corded grip. That's only $40. I'm going to buy it. I'm like, I want to be there.
Yeah. No, they're good. We actually had a FaceTime with them, didn't we?
We did. You were four-beer Rick at the time. That's why. And we spoke to them, wished them all the best and congratulated them. So if you want to check out another channel, check out Stacked Golf.
S-T-A-C-K.
I endorsed them.
Spell it.
And spell it, go on.
You're sponsored by them. S-T-A-C-K-E-D.
No, it's just that I think sometimes it is nice to plug other channels that are doing content that you enjoy. And last night I sat down and watched it on my TV. They had a new video out and I watched it. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to give them a shout out today because if we can get any more people to go and watch them, I'd like to.
Hold on, though.
Man,
got a big problem with this.
One.
Because if we shout them out, we have to shout every YouTube golf channel that's ever existed out.
Yes, so there has been some beef online. We love beef. Beef me up, Rick.
So, you might have seen recently.
Beef alert. I actually
wasn't going to talk about this.
Yes, beef it up.
Was it last week's episode?
Last week's episode, we had one
you
of
asked
our
me a question.
It was actually a listener. It was a voice note in from a listener who basically wanted to know who was the best golf YouTuber.
And this question's been asked It has been asked a few times before. We've answered it before. But there's loads more new golf YouTubers. Some golf YouTubers have got better than others. Some have got worse. I'll hold my hands up there. They always make for great clips. So last week I discussed and talked about who I think has got the potential of being one of the best players, where I probably sit in that list. There's also been another YouTuber, Kyle Levy.
I can't remember the name. It was like a newish channel. Sure, it was Levy. So random because we did our clip. And the day before that, this guy done a video kind of ranking golf creators in like different tiers of ability, which was just kind of quite coincidental, actually.
I can't find his name now. But anyway, so listen, in that scenario, in a podcast or whatever, Luke Peavy did a video about it. And he mentioned an awful lot of really cool young American YouTubers.
Yes.
So, like, Lord of Good Good Lads, GM Golf, and all those lot. Bryson DeChambeau was his tier one.
Of course.
I actually got put in tier five.
Well.
Hurts me a little bit, tier five. I think tier four is fair.
Does it matter? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does a little bit. So, but either way, in that video, again, there's loads and loads of comments about YouTubers that he's missed out, right? But I sympathise with him because even when we talk about golf YouTubers and a big who's the best, there are hundreds of golf YouTubers now.
And also, there's something, I'd love to see the kind of science behind this psychologically, but if you are watching that video and your favourite YouTuber who has 45,000 subscribers, let's just say, isn't mentioned, you almost feel impulsed to then reply and say, but you missed off Joe Smith Golf.
Yeah, because like he's your man.
Yeah.
So in our little chat, obviously, I didn't name, and I hold my hands up, I should have done. I should have spent the next hour and a half naming every single golf YouTuber and ranking their potential placement on this kind of imaginary
leaderboard.
That's
a good idea for a spin-off podcast. Is it number 112?
It'd be boring
Rick
as
Shields.
Hell. It'd be boring as hell. So I didn't say everyone's name, and I'm not going to do, because it's impossible. Because also, what quantifies as a golf YouTuber? Like, yeah. How many subs do you need? Because, you know, tomorrow Tiger Woods could set up a YouTube channel. He's got two subs. Is he the number one?
Anyway. Well, and on the flip side, a random person can just put a swing video on that gets 5 views, and they have one subscriber who's the mum. And that, well, I put videos on YouTube. Like, where do you draw the line?
So anyway, Andrew Jensen tweeted me and was not happy at all that I'd missed. I ignored small YouTube channels. Ignore them.
Well, it is funny because
blatantly don't even.
The other week we went to the Trafford Centre doing some shopping, and we're walking down the
don't be saying that.
And a small channel came up to me, just ignored them. He said, "You've not got 40,000 subs. I'm going to ignore you."
I didn't even look at him. But that's it. I think that's very, very unfair, because obviously back in 2019 I run the YouTube Golf Day. I was on a podcast with like Golfitity just last week, who've been around for a long time, but they're not a massive, massive channel. We're on the phone with SAS Golf.
Yeah.
I can't speak to everyone. Andrew, we had a little chat on the phone. I'm glad you retracted your statement because I did think it was a bit out of hand. And I apologize for not including you, but again, I couldn't include everybody. But maybe one day we can come up with a massive tournament that settles it forever.
But that's the thing I said last time, and people have said since in their own videos on this topic, is it's just a hypothetical question. It's just a bit of fun, you know. Like you said, I think, didn't you say, you said to this guy, it's like Tiger versus Jack. It'll never happen. You know, Mike Tyson versus Tyson Fury, it'd never happen. We can still discuss it. Like, even there's two things, really. Firstly, the chance of you having a match where every single person is included, like you said, will never happen. Because if there's 200 YouTubers, by the time you actually organise it and get it done, there'll be someone else who starts channeling that time anyway.
And all on their A game.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone plays well. And also, even if that did happen, what's the point? Like, yeah. You don't claim to be best. If you're all saying, I am the best on YouTube, then that would be quite good to watch. But you're not claiming that. Pete doesn't claim that.
No.
Bryson didn't even come out and say that, even though he clearly is the best golfer on YouTube at the moment, unless, again, you know.
Yeah, one of the other guys come up with the channel.
It isn't really. It's just a talking point, but anyway.
All good fun. I've got a question for you that's completely off topic. I'm absolutely guessing you didn't watch the Super Bowl.
No.
I didn't. Did you watch the halftime show?
No.
Did you know who was in it?
I saw on Daily Mail before, it was like all Snoop Dogg and 50 Cent.
Oh my God. What a throwback.
Have you watched it?
I watched it every minute of it. Yeah, I watched it twice. What's weird though, because oddly enough, recently, I was driving in my car, cruising around, gangster. Every now and again, I'll go, hey Siri, play Dr. Dre. Yeah. It's like, just come on. I best turn off before we get.
2001 was an outrageous album.
Yeah, so like, to be honest, this is going to start playing, sorry, one second. I better not, oh God, yeah, turn that one off. Turn that riff-raff off. I don't vouch to be like a huge like hip-hop fan and stuff, but like certain songs from like Dr. Dre, Eminem, Snoop Dogg, 50 yeah. Cent, Kendrick Lamar, Mary J. Blige, like, I'm absolutely all for that. Because like certain songs, you know, I don't need to know every bit about every lyric of every history of every album.
Yeah.
But last night, it was a proper throwback to like the early like 2000s, late 1990s. Yeah, yeah. Unbelievable. So I just wanted to say it.
No, I'm a big fan, yeah.
Definitely watch it. I recommend.
Like my,
it'd
hip-hop.
Be interesting though to see what like young people see that. I think it's absolutely in our era.
Yeah, I think some people like 50 Cent have kind of almost, and Eminem have kind of gone down as goats, haven't they? So they kind of respect that. But then you think, you look at the ages, they're all like in the 50s now.
This was the only thing I found a bit strange. You're right, they're all in the 50s. Dr. Dre's 56. Snoop Dogg is 50.
I think Eminem's actually 47, but still.
I think 50 Cent's 46. They're all dancing, yeah. Having a good time.
Throwing beers.
Yeah, throwing beers. But being surrounded and kind of grinded on by like quite young lady dancers, which I thought was a bit strange, because they're like in the 20s and they're kind of dancing on like 50-year-olds. But either way, the rappers,
it's what
the gangsters, it's what happens. Anyway, I thought that was a good little point to touch on.
Yeah, it was. So I've got another little topic I want to touch on, and it's something we were debating doing for a video, and I don't think we're going to do it now, so we may as well do it in the podcast. But if we decide to do it, we do it. And again, it's something we've talked about before and we've had discussions on before. But I've had a bit of a quiet weekend this weekend, as you can probably tell by how in-depth we thought about the throwing of beers. And it got me thinking about custom fitting again. So hear me out. couple of things that brought this to light. So firstly, we had a meeting very recently with Titleist, who showed us the new SM9 wedges, and we were then potentially going to go and review them. We've not done yet. We may do, we may not. It's very hard to review a wedge. That meeting was very brief. It was basically showing us the new wedges, telling us the key technology, giving us some samples, done. I think now there are, I should have actually got this exact number, but somewhere in the region of 20 or 30 different actual wedges you can get. And that's
from
before, yeah, from Vokey, Titleist Vokey, before, look at the different colours, you can get the different finishes. So there's about six different grinds. Within that, there's several lofts and different bounces, etc. So there's a lot to get your head around.
Yeah.
It's very kind of complex, but they offer that so that essentially everybody is covered, depending on the terrain that you play at, depending on the way you deliver the golf club with your wedges,
angles.
Depending on what loft your pitching wedge of your stock set, of your current set is, that obviously if your set has a 44 degree pitching wedge, then your gap wedge needs to be stronger than if your pitching wedge is 47 degrees, obviously.
Whether you like to sit the face more open, whether you like to kind of
exactly,
a
there's
bit more
so
closed.
Much obviously to choose from. And then even with the finishes, they've got a tall chrome, they have a rusty version, they have a darker version, they did a blue version last year. And that is ultimately Titleist, who are, in my opinion, make some of the best wedges, trying to cater for basically everybody and make sure that nobody is left wanting. But the thing that I struggle with a little bit is with all that choice. If you walk into most golf retailers, they'll either have no wedges for you to try at all, so literally none, or they may have one random 56 that you can have a shot of.
Yeah.
So my kind of question really is, we know how much we use our wedges, you know, around the green, from bunkers, pitching, you know, a hell of a lot, but you can't try them. They're talking about the importance of all these different grinds, but again, you can't get fitted with that, and certainly on the golf course. We also know that our sand wedge in particular, or lob wedge, we use a hell of a lot from little different lies, and again, out of sand, hence the name sand wedge. But where on earth, bar maybe Woburn, can you go out and actually try the correct Titleist wedge for you out of a bunker?
You can go to Woburn for a fee, by the way.
Well, yeah, and even on top of that, again, we talk about the importance of a fitting in terms of length of golf club, lie angle of golf club, grip thickness, shaft material, shaft flex. Where could you go for an SM9 in this grind with it half an inch longer with the grip you like on that you can go and you can try in a bunker?
That's also not got worn out grooves.
Exactly. That's another thing they said. And I get it. After 500 shots of the wedge, the grooves will start to wear and the spin kind of characteristics will deteriorate. You won't get that top performance, which is why tour pros swap the wedges quite often. So it just kind of, I know it's a, kind of getting slowly getting to my point, but it just got me thinking, we hear about fitting, find the grind for you, find this, find that. But where can you go to actually try them all?
I would say right now there's a couple of categories which are still not perfect but are as close to being as perfect as they can for fittings.
Yes.
Things like drivers.
Yes.
Drivers is probably the category where you are almost as close to being fitted. Everything's on a flat playing surface when you hit driver.
Yep.
It's very controlled. When you go for a fitting, obviously you've been a fitter in the past, you'll have a selection of heads, pretty much all the lofts, but now with the loft sleeve, you can tinker and tweak. You'll have an array of shafts, and sometimes even though shafts have different thickness of grips, they're probably the only things that you can't carry every selection of, all the shafts in every single combination of grip. But near enough, you can get it dialed in. You've got a launch monitor, you can pretend you've got on a hole. Sometimes you actually get fitted on a hole if you need to.
Yeah.
It's pretty close. Putter fitting.
Just jumping on though from that, the only thing I would say still add, using the same golf ball.
Yeah.
American Golf Trafford using a range ball. It's a decent ball. You're not using the Pro V one you might play with. And lastly, I've seen from you, you can sometimes, this isn't the issue with the actual fitting, but from the fitter and the golfer's perspective, I look at this, which one's on the longest.
Of course.
Look at it. But yeah, you're right. It's as close
as,
to...
As a close measurement.
Yes.
Putter fitting
I
as well.
That's the best.
It is. You can do it on a... Sometimes an artificial green inside. That's fine.
Yeah.
Certainly on these Zen greens at slope and everything else. You can use your actual golf ball if you wish. You'd like to think you will do. A lot of now putter fittings either have a putter that has a retractable shaft, like ping, or like even roll where you can actually take the shaft out now and put a new shaft in with a different neck. You can measure the roll on a launch monitor. It's fairly controlled and consistent. You're not just taking your best ones either. You're getting the feel of the putter. There's no tape or anything on the face you'd like to think when testing the putter.
It's the best one. It has to be.
So I think generally putters, obviously, like you mentioned there, is probably the best. Irons, so-so.
Yeah.
In fact, probably up there with wedges.
Well,
it is
because you're hitting typically just a 7-iron. Yeah. Well, how do I hit the 4-iron? How do I hit the pitching wedge? You often don't know.
How do I hit it out the rough? How do I hit it out of sand again? Because you might hit irons out of sand, obviously.
And so often you'd say, so say you came for fitting with me and I'm in a bay and I've got the Titleist whatever iron or whatever brand, Callaway, doesn't matter. And I said to you, right, Rick, I'm going to put in the stock shaft, hit, hit, hit. You're quite strong, your neck's 100, bang, bang, bang. Actually, that works really well. But you're a bit taller, so you need a quarter of an inch longer. I'm not going to actually have to try, though.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to order it blind and hope it works.
Yeah. And then even ordering it blind, what will that do to affect the lie angle of the golf club or the weight of the golf club or the way it sits at a dress? That's actually a really good point. So irons and wedges are really the categories where the industry is letting you as golfers down.
And then do you want to know a bit more juicy gossip? So not even juicy gossip, but something else I thought about. I spoke to a golf brand today. I'm not going to name which brand it is. It's irrelevant. And asked one of the people who is my opinion I trust and I would agree with. Said if you were fitting a decent player, now determine that how you want decent, but if you're fitting a decent player and in your testing, and again, how you come to the conclusion is up to you, whether it be on a lie board, which is quite dated now, or on GC Quad or whatever it might be, and they came up as needing 1 degree upright in the iron. Would you consider 1 degree enough to quantify ordering a custom set?
Mm.
The answer was yes, I would. 1 degree is enough to quantify, you know, ordering them custom. So I said, that's fine. However, with your brand in question, what is the tolerance when people order a set of clubs? And their tolerance, so this when they send the club out to the retail store or to the consumer, is 1 degree. So let's just say Rick orders a set of X brand golf clubs and these all should be 1 degree upright. Your 4-iron might be, but then your 5-iron might be 2 degrees upright.
Yeah.
But then your 6-iron might be standard. Then you go back to 1 degree upright. So there's an error there. But you can't have it both ways. You can't say that 1 degree upright is definitely enough to quantify needing to get custom clubs, but we'll give you a bit of leeway either side. And there's another brand, another massive manufacturer who I've since found out and done some research, offer 2 degrees of tolerance.
Wow.
So you could order a set that you've been told you are a tall person, you come in with the handle quite high, you need 2 degrees upright in your irons. Well, your 4-iron could be standard, but then your 5-iron could be 4 degrees upright.
Wow.
And this happens to loft as well. So your 4-iron could be 1 degree weak, your 5-iron could be 2 degrees strong.
That's crazy.
So how, I'm not, again, I'm just trying to spark a conversation really, but it just gets you thinking, doesn't it? Like,
yeah. Because you wouldn't get that on a tour truck, I wouldn't imagine.
Exactly.
A tour truck and again, going back to when we had Tommy on the podcast, he really did change my mind on this idea of being sponsored on tour, because you feel like you've got like a mechanic working on your clubs all the time and they must be checking them constantly and their tolerances will be zero.
They'll be zero.
Like, they can't have a tolerance.
And it just gets me thinking again, is fitting important? Yes, I would say so, because if you had a friend who was brand new to golf and they said, Rick, I've just about been out and bought some golf clubs and you looked at what they've got and they've got 1-iron down to sand iron and a tiny little blade, they've got a 7-degree drive with a 300cc head, you would look at them and say, well, actually, these golf clubs probably aren't going to give you those forgiveness. There's things you get that'd be better, more forgiving. But it does lead me to believe that this whole fitting message, now people feel so passionately behind it. I do think it has been kind of really, really manipulated by the golf industry, from golf brands and golf retailers, to make people go out and continue to buy clubs because there's this story that you need to be fitted, need to be fitted. But actually,
it's almost custom shopping,
yes,
as opposed to custom fitting.
100%.
Because let's say, again, if I had a mate who plays off 18 and he had some clubs that I thought, they're not great for you, I can give him a custom shopping and go and explain to him. You might want to go down to a store and they'll give you a list of things that you might need.
Imagine if I said to you, right, Rick, you're getting back into running. You really need a custom pair of running shoes. It's so important. So I'm going to get on the treadmill. I'm going to measure your feet. Okay, Rick, you're a size 10 and a half UK.
They're going to really say.
But then when they come, they could be a 10, they could be an 11. We have a bit of room for error. It doesn't matter.
What? My left is 10, my 11, my right is 11.
Exactly. That's literally the exact same thing. So I just don't know, it's just a bit of a food for thought, just to ponder.
Golf industry might need to do better. Coming on to lofts as well,
yes.
I do want to touch on one topic. I didn't think I was going to talk about it, but I am. When I reviewed the Cobra F9S driver, which, by the way, is ruffled feathers, say the least, which I thought it would do, but I'm on the side of the consumer, and we want to tell you guys what we find that we think you need to know about. And still, I wholeheartedly stick to everything I said in that video, in the fact that that F9S was being sold on the potential pretense it was an F9.
Yes.
Pretty much.
I think, yeah.
And we've also seen now a newer version coming out. You said you saw it in the shop at the weekend.
I did, yeah.
Which is the Speed Zone S. Again, very much looking like a Speed Zone, but a little bit different.
Has the milled face still, but whereas the original Speed Zone had the Infinity logo, which is like a sideways number 8 in the centre of the face, this one doesn't have that.
So it's different in some capacity.
Whether it affects performance or not, I don't know.
So the other thing I just wanted to touch on, and I've had this confirmed by many, many fitters, that the 10.5 degree head in the F9S, we cranked down to 9 degrees to match my F9.
Yeah.
And from my information I've received from a few fitters, that would make next to no difference in the performance of the shot. Mm. A lot of people online were saying, oh, you can't test it in a 10.5 degree head and crank it down because that'll affect spin. If it did, it'd be tiny amounts, not 500 RPM spin, not 10 yards of difference.
And also as well, I think if your ball flight was going off to the right, then maybe, but it wasn't.
Yeah, because the face, again, if people don't quite know how the loft sleeve works, as you crank it down, it actually slightly opens the face at address. But again, coming into impact, that loft should be right because otherwise the loft sleeve is kind of redundant.
That's it. There's two things here. There's firstly, it didn't make that much difference. I watched you hitting it, and I could tell also by the sound, it was a different sounding driver. It was a different driver, albeit it looks very, very similar. So that's one thing. Even if there is a difference, and that's a big if, it's not 10 yards. It just isn't. But secondly, let's park that for a moment. Let's just say, okay, whatever. Let's park that. The important point here wasn't actually massively, hugely, the performance. It was the fact that they've made a driver, they've taken innovations off that driver. So whether that, again, affects performance, whatever, but they're taking stuff off. But retailers and places are selling it. And for all intents and purposes, it appears to be the original F9.
Yeah.
That's the bigger point.
Yeah, the performance can be taken with a pinch of salt. Yeah. The other thing I wanted to touch on, and get with loads of bloody comments about this, why didn't I test it in the helium shaft that it came in?
That was quite a strange comment that I thought, but...
So, basically, when I bought it off the shelf, the one that was on the shelf had a regular helium shaft, a super, super lightweight regular shaft. Now, if you're a fan of the channel, you know that I'm not a regular shaft player. I swing it like 110 miles per hour. That's kind of in the stiff to definitely extra stiff range. But for fun, and we didn't actually include it in the video in the end, I did hit that helium shaft. How bad were those shafts?
Well, this test. So the test we were doing, it wasn't driver. And when I say driver, I mean full encompassing driver versus driver.
Because the results would have been outrageously different.
It was head versus head.
Yeah.
Now you could do, and it would be quite interesting to do a driver versus driver, where you would get a 10.5 Cobra F9S with the helium in regular. That's driver A. You then get a 10.5 Cobra F9 original with a regular shaft that came in a stock. That's driver B. Give it to a golfer who needs regular 10.5. Let them try the two out and just see on that instance, is there much difference?
Yeah.
Again, it comes down to the shaft is different, so it could work either way. But that would be a more kind of holistic test. But this one was purely, forget the shafts, it's head versus head.
So the helium shaft that I hit before hitting the other drivers, one was a warm-up. And to be fair, we were going to include it in the video, but it just wasn't relevant in the end because that's not the shaft we were using. Everything went miles left. And even if I did hit it straight, it went up to space.
Yeah.
You ever seen those shots?
Yeah.
Outrageously high and probably would have carried about 240 yards. So if anything, if I would have had the helium shaft in, it would have been even worse of a result for that F9S. But we can't blame that on the F9S because that was the wrong shaft for me.
Exactly.
So that was something we had to take out of the equation. But like I say, the loft factor is so irrelevant.
I think, though, when you're doing these kind of videos and we put them together, we spend a lot of time planning them and editing them and putting, you know, we'd love to try and make a video where you watch it and then there's no questions to continue to be asked. There's no stone left unturned, that every answer to every question is answered in that one piece of content. Unfortunately, though, there's always going to be people who either don't fully understand it or want to be awkward and create a question out of it. So I saw one comment online where somebody said, well, yeah, the S was spinning up a little bit higher for you, so why not flip the weight around? Now, yes, if you did that, the S would then have lower spin, in theory, if the weights work correctly, which they should, and it might have got closer to the numbers of the F9, but then that's not a head-to-head test. No. We need to then move the weights on the actual F9 round, which would then, again, give it more distance, lower spin.
Yeah.
So in that instance, the F9 would still win.
Yeah.
So... You, unfortunately, and it's great that people want to engage with the content. We want people to comment and ask questions. But I think some of the comments are from people who are genuinely asking a question. And that's fine. We endorse that. We want more of that. But some questions, some opinions from people who want to just be awkward and be a bit fussy.
Yeah.
Which is, again, fine.
Very,
but...
very, very strange. And then in update as well, very soon after that video went live, the actual driver was removed off said website. Mm. And just check now, it's not on the website.
And that's the thing, again, as I think we hopefully touched on last podcast and in your video, these SMU products, these cheap alternatives, have got no issue with. People aspire to own Cobra, Callaway, whatever it might be, TaylorMade. And not everybody, no matter how good a value it is, wants to buy a pre-owned golf club, which I get. Yeah. You know, somebody's got a bit of a Skymark on, or it's been owned by somebody else, the head cover's a bit tatty. You go out and you spend your hard-earned cash on a brand new driver that's literally got the wrapper on, that you peel off slowly. Yeah, and
it's yours.
It has that little unique smell, the head cover's perfect. I get it. But the brands should need to be honest about it and just let people know that for whatever reason, this driver has takedown parts of it that aren't quite as premium as the predecessor was. But that's okay. Yeah, you're still buying into the brand.
Because we priced it at this price.
Yeah.
And this is its retail. It's recommended retail. Not what F9 was originally.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the... We're going to sell this for £250 and that's how much you're going to buy
it for.
And
people aren't thick. Like, my car isn't the high level of my car. I've got that thing, and probably you have, where there's buttons that have nothing on. Because in the more premium versions, that would be something different that I don't possess in my car.
I lost the chauffeur.
It's not, people aren't thick. People don't need to be spoon-fed. Just be a bit more clear about it. And I think as well, a massive, huge part of this, I'll be honest with you, I don't deep down believe it is the golf retailers being conniving. I really don't. I think it's some of the lack of education, because it's not anybody that's that super, super senior that's writing the copy that goes onto the website. So if somebody who isn't maybe a massive, huge golfer or legitimately thinks it's the same product and they're getting it wrong, it's frustrating, it's not right, but it's not done intentionally to con people. No. These retailers are established, genuine retailers who sell good product and I'm sure have great customer service. It's just slipped through the net.
But I think, I think just in the future, hopefully now, maybe the Cobra have had the fingers burnt, or the retailer, fingers crossed, we've made a slight kind of impact.
Oh,
so that when an SMU does come out in the future, got no problems with it, just make it bloody obvious.
Yes.
That's all we ask. I think that's all the viewers ask.
It feels today, I don't know if this is right or wrong, but it's been a little bit ranty. But I've had a little bit on my plate today.
No, it's been a bit ranty. I came in skipping and happy Halloween. It's turned in from Valentine's Day to Halloween.
Sometimes these happen, Rick, but I've got some nice questions to finish off on.
Okay, go for it.
So speaking of being pleasant, I did a thing on Twitter, asked some questions, thought I'd spice it up a bit. Normally we go Facebook, but went Twitter this time.
Oof.
From Dan, he said, have you ever had a time you feel like quitting golf?
I think I've openly discussed this. I don't think I would have quit golf, but the time when I played in Lumina and had an absolute shocker, 3-day tournament, loads of news articles picked it up. That definitely was a time when I thought, oh God, do I really want to go through this? But I honestly don't think I would have quit golf. I'd have just quit tournament golf.
Yeah, see, I thought that when I saw that question, I thought back to a bad round of golf, whatever. But actually, for me, I've had times I've almost debated quitting, but it's not been for playing badly. It's been from lack of playing, which is why now I'm more conscious to try and play a bit more. So I've had spells where I've always played golf since I was 7-8 years old, but I might have had a spell of 18 months where I've hardly really played, to the point where, worryingly, you don't even think about playing. And it's not like a case of, I am now quitting golf. It's almost a case of, I'm going on a slippery slope here.
I'm now no longer a golfer.
Exactly. At what point do I say, oh yeah, I used to play golf? And that worries me a bit. So that's where I've kind of unfortunately nearly been at it. So from Carl Whitehouse, my clubs are TaylorMade RBZ, the original ones. I've not played for about 5 years. I'm terrible at the moment. Should I stick it out with these for a year, see if I improve, or get some new ones?
A little bit depends on how your swing might have changed in those 5 years not playing, but RBZ had a fairly strong lofted irons, if memory serves me correctly. just bear that in mind, that they're kind of a power iron really, but I would definitely stick it out with your RBZs at first. They're not that old, where they kind of, you know, they're an old blade that you've picked up from your granddad. They're a modern set still. Stick it out, see how you get on, and maybe reward yourself for the first time you reach a certain milestone, whether that's break 80 or 90 or 100, whatever, and then maybe treat yourself to a new set.
Good answer. Yeah, I think, stick with them because they're good golf clubs. It's weird, though, isn't it? Where, like, if you go out and buy a set of golf clubs expecting to improve, fortunately, that probably won't be the case. The only way it weirdly can is if for some bizarre reason these new ones make you want to go to the range three times a week and play more, which is kind of a side effect.
Or if they're totally, totally different to something you've used in the past.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned before, if you had a really, really old driver, dead small driver, and suddenly you had a bloody G425 in your hand, you're thinking, oh my God. But it still doesn't mean you're going to instantly improve, but you'd like to think it's going to help you enjoy the game a bit more.
I agree.
We're good?
I think, just let's have a minute just to, I feel like we're both a bit pent up here. I don't know why. I feel like brands and fitting and throwing beers.
I'm going to throw some...
Throw the drink on the floor. Go on, Dave.
Checking I'd like some lemonade left. That's good.
Throw the whole thing, Dave. I might
break the cup.
I'd love to see you break a cup on live on the podcast. Launch against the wall.
No, it's a nice cup.
We could gently roll it across the floor. Pass it to me down here. Like it's
on the coaster, though.
Yeah.
Go on. I don't think it's going to work.
You might do.
Oh,
let me have a go.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Oh yeah, but take it all back. I'll throw everything.
You're doing that in anger. Imagine it in celebration. Well, that's the start of the podcast clip for you, right? Thanks for listening, everybody. Tickets go on sale tomorrow. Link in the description.
Well, it's actually today.
Or today. Link in the description on both YouTube and podcast platforms. Thanks for listening. Rate us if you want. Don't make guy angry in the comments.
Me off.
See you soon. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.